of shit.
You time me out.
Yeah.
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
Not a lot, really. I'm blind.
So we're going to talk today about a group of people, one of whom bit off a lot more than he could chew, quite literally.
What, muffin?
A muffin?
The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man. It's Ace Steel, the Muffin Man. Everybody, welcome to TMOF Wrestling. This is the Pro Wrestling Roll-Up Wrestling Podcast brought to you by...
It's me, Ash.
And I'm Russ. So... Today's episode, we are going to talk about the AEW fallout, as it were. Fallout from All Out.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah,
very funny.
Yeah?
Yeah. There you go. Got your stamp of approval. Everybody, if you're new to the show, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thank you very, very much for coming back. There's a lot to kind of go through, I think, with this one. So with AEW, everybody knows now the story of what's happened with All Out.
Why, what happened?
The media scrum. Of course, CM Punk blew up and assaulted the world, basically, or at least the elite.
Yeah.
Do you want to go? All Out. We were just going to do the review for All Out.
Yeah, what's the point?
It's probably. I mean, it's already over a week old now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You've seen it. Very good show.
It's good. It's not the best. It wasn't the worst.
It's a very good show. It's a very long show.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's a very good show, but again, it's one of those things. I guess AEW can get away with it to a degree. Because they don't have pay-per-views every month, which does help.
It does.
I think if you've got monthly pay-per-views and they're all sort of 4 hours plus, then, you know, it's a lot. But, you know, it's a really good show and a lot happened there. But the big talking point is obviously really, you know, Punk defeats Jon Moxley, becomes the AEW World Champion. And also in the show, we saw MJF return.
Yes.
Very cool moment. So he comes out in the opening match, which was the casino ladder match.
Yeah, I also want to call it a casino battle royal ladder.
Casino in the bank.
Gauntlet. Because there's so much rules for this one match. It's unreal.
Well, it's quite... So, I mean, the rules for the match, just got onto that quickly. Like, it could be interesting that... Because you have two people start.
Yeah.
And kind of like a rumble, each, you know, another person comes out every... How often it is, whatever it is. And then... But the match, anyone can climb the ladder at any point.
Yeah.
To win. But one, but that rule in mind, what made me laugh with that is that, you know, you've got, I think the match starts with...
Dante Martin, wasn't it?
No, so it was Yuta and Rey Fénix, I think, it started with.
It was definitely one of the flippy boys, isn't it?
But then Roosh comes out as the third one and, like, Yuta's he's climbing the ladder whilst Roosh is doing his entrance. And it's like they tried really hard on commentary to kind of be like, oh, you know, like he should hurry up a bit here. But Roosh was just doing this shtick for his entrance.
Yeah.
While Yuta's climbing the ladder. And you're like, Roosh, well, do you want to run and get in there, mate? Or like, what you doing, mate?
But what's the point of having so many people if you could just win it straight away?
Well, I'm the Booker T.
Having a ladder match, like, in a gauntlet style, who does a thing like that, eh?
Backyard days. So... Look, the match was very good, but obviously, you know, Stokely Hathaway's team, which we now know is called The Firm, they come out. Stokely takes the chip off the thing. Obviously, he can't be the winner because he's not in the match, but then the next person comes out is the Joker.
He could have been the Joker.
Well, they kind of established that he wasn't. But the Joker does come out to Sympathy for the Devil, which was a nice nod to who it obviously was going to be, which was pretty obvious. Not to say it was a bad thing.
No, considering he did his... usual stuff he does.
The way he was like getting out of the ring and stuff as well, it's like, yeah, it's MJF. But yeah, it was cool. You know, Stokely hands at him, he's the number one contender. And then, you know, the end of the night reveals it's MJF and it looks like we're going to go ahead, finally, with MJF versus Punk again, and this time for the title. All of that changes within the span of, what, 2 hours?
Less than that.
So the post-show media scrum that AEW does. It's always quite interesting. I quite like them. They've had some good moments on there.
Yeah, it's mainly trying to talk shit about WWE more than it is talking about their own stuff.
I mean, there's some stuff in there. Tony gets a little bit riled up at one point because the conversation comes up about WWE approaching AEW talent, you know, to say, putting the feelers out, I guess, to see if they're going to be interested in coming back to WWE when the contracts are up and stuff. But which is a move that you're not meant to make because they're currently under contract. So you can't actually approach them whilst they're under contract. I don't know what all the legalities are in that, but
I know Bret Hart said that when he had 6 months left in his contract in the early 90s, that he could talk to like WCW, but I don't know if it's the same anymore.
I suppose, again, it depends if you've got it built into your contract, right? So
I would have thought so, because who's to say, like, when Cody was talking to Vince about joining?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the parameters are within it, but he gets a little hot, doesn't he, at that bit, and he says, I'm not gonna take it, like a really unintimidating, unthreatening presence.
Cocaine would do that to you, I reckon.
God, do you reckon Tony Khan was at EC3's party with Velveteen Dream?
Well, if that's what he's into.
Well, give it 2 or 3 years and we'll be seeing Tony Khan take a piss courtesy of Velveteen Dream, apparently. Allegedly. So, cutting to it then, obviously, Punk is up there with Tony, and it's straight away, isn't it? Like, it's literally from the get-go, Punk cuts off the journalist and he goes into this rant and he goes straight in there about Colt Cabana. Then he goes into Hangman. Then he goes in for the rest of the Elite with the EVPs in general. And absolutely buries them. Yeah. And I mean, like, full on buries them. I've got to ask a question, and I know this is an eye roller, but initially, did you think this was a work or not?
Well, not really. But the fact that he's talked about Hangman in the past, when he came back from the foot injury, his issues with Colt Cabana is known. I was thinking maybe it could lead up to a match later with Kenny, and obviously the match with MJF.
The match with MJF is already there, though, isn't it? Right. So the match with MJF is already on the cards.
Yeah.
The reason I was thinking this has got to be work, surely. And there's a few reasons. First of all, because it was insane. Like, you're watching it, you just think, surely that is not a real response. Like, this isn't... Because most of the questions being asked were nothing to do with what Punk was talking about. People were asking completely different questions.
Were there questions being asked? Because I don't remember any of them.
There were questions being asked, but Punk was circling it back around to Colt Cabana, which the question didn't relate to. He was circling it back around to Hangman Adam Page. It seemed so forced that he was bringing them up. And, you know, you have to take into account as well, like, we look at one of CM Punk's biggest ever moments in his entire career back in 2011, which was the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things that blurred the line. It wasn't something you saw a lot, if ever, really, at least at that point in time, in WWE. And it really blurred the lines. But then when you read between those lines, looking at that promo, he's still selling you the match because he's saying, I'm going to take that title. I'm going to go home. You're never going to see me again. You ain't ever going to see this face again. Biking is good for me. Come here in a little high, in a little AEW heels. Think she owned the place.
What accent is that meant to be again?
That's the kid from that show. Come on, man. That's a meme. Don't tell me that wasn't a good accent, because it was. That's a good impression.
Sure, was it your attempt at Scottish again?
Mine. Just leave it out, man. Like, if the people have spoken, they said I sounded Irish. I get it. But you know what I mean? Like, it was still selling the match in that pipe bomb. Whereas, and then it kind of like, when he was talking about MJF here, and obviously the program looks very much like it's going to be MJF and Punk, because MJF is the number one contender now, Punk's the champion now. So, you know, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
But when he was talking then about MJF, he was still trying to kind of give that same level of contempt But that part of it felt a lot more like it was just him, you know, in work mode, and he's, I suppose, sort of selling it. But it was so it just got undermined by everything that preceded it, because, again, like, he went off on Cabana. Oh, sharing a bank account with his mum. So that tells you what sort of person he is. I mean, okay. I mean, does it? Don't know. I don't do that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not quite sure. You know, if I met someone in the street and was like, oh, you share a bank account with your mother, I wouldn't instantly be like, untrustworthy guy. Well, you know what I mean? It doesn't give me, like, negative connotations of somebody.
I found it funny when he said, oh, I've not been friends with him for 10 years, yet I did a podcast 8 years ago with a guy.
The timeline doesn't quite add up, yeah. No. What kind of threw me a little bit is that, again, because this is how it all starts with that interview with the journalist, whatever. I don't know what the guy's name is.
I can't remember, but he meant you used Kurt Cobain's real name.
He did. So I guess at some point they must have been on some sort of good terms, because I think they've done improv together.
Yeah, that's what.
And that's how it came about, wasn't it? And this is what. Now, knowing what we know, sort of like a couple of weeks past this incident here, I just don't know. There's a lot of people still very much, you know, punks in the right, you know, he's not going to take crap, whatever. And then you've got a lot of people that are just like, no, man, like, Punk was 100% in the wrong. And I've got to be honest, that part of the interview, whether he's right or wrong or whatever's going on there, I don't know. I'm not there. But to go off on that interviewer, like, Punk come, if I'm honest, Punk come off the losing side with the initial guy, for me, just on the sense that he basically started on the guy for being like, oh, you're friends with Colt Cabana, so watch who you're friends with. The guy was like, well, no, I'm not friends with him. We haven't actually spoken in a long time. But Punk still had to, like, drive that little hammer in towards the end of it, where he goes, you know, well, you know, you need to pick your friends more carefully. It's like, well, he's already told you he's not friends with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's already shut that down. Like, you're trying to start a fight with him. And it just continued, and it snowballed into each, like, person that was interviewing, and it was, or asking questions, and it was just so bizarre, man. Like, it almost seemed really petty.
Well,
the way he was delivering it.
From what I've heard in the past by other people, is like, Punk doesn't have the greatest history of keeping friends. So,
and again,
whether that's him or not, only by himself, I don't know.
It's a tricky, like, topic to cover, because, again, like, we don't know these people in real life and everything else, but you've got to watch what you're seeing on TV. And, like, the thing is, you're watching this to get kind of to get more sort of drawn into the product, right, of AEW and the angles and the stories that they're telling. And that's kind of really what a lot of these scrums are about. They're kind of that mix of helping talent with, you know, progressing an angle, or further hammering home a point that they've just seen or that they're going to see or something like that, you know, a match coming up, a match that's just happened, where it's still relatively, like, glossed in kayfabe. But then you also get people, you know, throwing questions out like they did to Tony about, like, this WWE situation, approaching talent, etc. And this one was just so bizarre, because, like, Punk doesn't have any angle with the Elite. The closest was obviously with Hangman. But he's gone right for Young Bucks, right for Kenny, the EVPs in general. What was it he called him? He said that they were... He said, I'm tired of working... He said, like, I'm hurt, I'm tired of working with fucking children.
He was accusing them of making the stories...
So, yeah. I think, was it them in general, or was it just Hangman?
I think it was because of the Hangman situation and the Colt Cabana situation, about how he thinks that they made it about... The reason why Colt Cabana is on Ring of Honor and not on AEW is because of Punk.
And they're the ones leaking it to the media.
Yeah.
And that's the story that he went about. I mean, he buries them, and it's a very, very awkward interview. Obviously, it's up from many different angles on YouTube. You'll find it anywhere you look. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. If you listen to this, you've probably seen it. My initial reaction was, holy moly. Holy moly.
You're not doing it right.
I told you I was going to get it in there.
I know, but you didn't do it.
I'm not going to... No, because if I try an Irish accent now, it's not going to come out...
He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to throw a chair at you. He's not going to bite your shoulder or whatever.
Yeah, but if he's got a dog, the dog might get involved. That's the worst thing about this next story for me. So, what happens, obviously, after the scrum is that Punk goes to his locker. Well, there's a few different takes on it, isn't there?
Yeah.
But Punk goes to his locker room. All we know that's happened for definite from that point is that then CM Punk has ended up in a backstage altercation with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. Ace Steel was involved.
Yes.
Larry was apparently involved. Like CM Punk's little, beautiful little dog. One of the cutest little dogs I've ever seen in my life. Like, getting involved in it. Just the thought of that really just makes me sad. But Larry's not the one doing half the biting, apparently. It's Ace Steel, who apparently in the fight is biting Kenny Omega. And then other people are apparently involved, like, you know, Brandon Cutler, Michael Nakazawa, Christopher Daniels got caught up in it somehow.
Christopher Daniels is he head of talent relations or something like that? He's something like that.
Other backstage personalities that are also obviously going to be names that you know. Yeah, Pat Buck.
Who's not related to the Young Bucks.
But this, the one of the stories being told is that, you know, they were banging on Punk's door and then they kicked his door down. And then they start, and then it starts fighting. And the other side of it is like, well, no, they didn't kick his door down. He's over dramatized.
Yeah, they went to super kick it, but they can't slap a door.
But oh, what a mess! Like it's just, you know, these are EVPs as well. These are like top, not just top stars in your company, but like top personnel within your company.
Yeah,
and this resulted in everybody being suspended.
Yeah, not only that, but the Elite had just won the Trios title, which was the thing that everyone's been waiting for. Everyone knew that they'll probably be the first winner, and they get stripped of it.
The mad thing is because, yeah, they get stripped of it because of what's happened. We'll go sort of bit by bit here then. So they've been suspended, and Tony Khan, on the Wednesday night Dynamite that followed AEW All Out, opens the show saying that they're going to do a new trios match tonight to crown the new champions, and they're going to hold a tournament because the AEW World title is also vacated.
Another tournament already.
Another tournament already. And the immediate thought is that, you know, it's because of all the suspensions. But Punk's is slightly different because Punk's is being sold to us that he's only relinquished the title because of the injury. So he sustained a pectoral injury, or pectoral tear, was it?
I think it was a tear. But that's during the match, I think they said.
During the match against Moxley at All Out.
Which means if he tore his bicep throwing a punch, then he is...
Well, but my confusion with this is that everybody else, and it's since come to light as well within the last few days, that some of these suspensions have been lifted.
Yeah,
because that it was some people that were just trying to break the fight up.
If they've tried to break it up, why are they getting suspended?
Well, exactly. And hence why the whole thing seems like a bit of a shit show. But those are certain suspensions have been lifted. I think Pat Buck is one of them.
Yeah, and
Daniels, I'd imagine.
Daniels, I think, was one of them, and I think Nozaka.
Potentially, or maybe Cutler?
Might have been. I think everyone that wasn't like...
directly involved or directly mentioned.
People that were trying to break it up.
Yeah.
Were the ones.
But it's very clear that the Elite were stripped of the titles because of what happened, because of the incident. Punk is suspended but also injured.
Yeah.
And he's stripped of the title because of injury. So because he's out injured... is he also because that's what confuses me. He's suspended, but he's going to be off TV anyway, or he's going to be off anyway because he's injured. So it's almost like he's not even getting a proper punishment.
Not really.
So is this Tony Khan protecting CM Punk? And I'm asking the question because during that entire scrum, Tony was obviously very awkward.
Well, the fact he just sat there smiling.
Because I don't get it. I understand it. That must have been a super awkward position to be in. For any of us being in that position, for me being in that position, I would have probably laughed at some of it because the thing is wild. Like, what else can you do? Like, what can you do? CM Punk has just sat there. He's the biggest star in your company, and he's going off on this absolute rampage. What can you do? The only thing is that would be me sat there. I'd be sat there not as the CEO of AEW. And like what you said when we've done that little Ash Reacts video, you sat there laughing, and you should be defending the company. Like,
it's,
what
it should be. Why you're just making yourself look really bad because you're letting a wrestler get control, and you're not protecting people that are higher ups in your company that helped start this company with you. Bankrolled it, but they had the idea and the passion to start this, and you're just taking the piss by laughing at them and getting shit on by...
And that's the thing. I don't even know necessarily if it comes across that he was laughing at the Elite at their expense.
Do you think he still thinks Cody's there?
I honestly was looking into that situation as like, I think Tony is just... laughing because he just doesn't know what to do. Like, that, you've got to admit, that is a really, really bizarre position to be put in. But it does also beg the question, like, you know, Punk is on, I think it's rumoured to be around about $3 million a year, and he's on a 3-year contract, right? Obviously returns to pro wrestling and joins All Elite Wrestling in August of 2021. That show on that Rampage hits like what, 1.1 million views or something like that. Then you fast forward like a year later, you know, and it's almost, I think it might even be more than half, like 55% less or something like that. I was reading on Forbes.
It's like 400,000, but it doesn't help that they always pre-tape it. But the ones that do live do pretty well.
Well, AEW recently has been hitting consistent over 1 million views in the ratings. And in all honesty, ratings is a bit of a dead horse now at this point, because as we've talked about before anyway, now with being able to watch and stream, you know, on demand, it's your ratings, because ratings are measured in such a weird way anyway, they're almost obsolete. Like, it is a bit, it's a massive, massive grey area.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not factoring in what you're watching on YouTube or what you're streaming online and, you know, however else you consume content. But I guess the idea behind it is CM Punk is the top star. He's the money maker. He's the big drawer. He's the guy that gets the ratings. So is Tony Khan protecting him for that reason at the expense of, like you said, people that helped start the company? And you got to, you know, in all honesty, I like the Elite. But have they proven themselves to be big money drawers for the company? If you're looking at the ratings, which Tony obviously does do. And he's very passionate about it.
I don't know. It feels like being the Elite is more over than the Elite.
Is Tony protecting Punk?
It feels like it. It does feel like it, because, once again, you would have stopped him when he was talking shit about the high-ups in the company. Which also, that's another reason why I felt like it worked at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's what I mean, because he was so deathly quiet. And if that was Vince McMahon...
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing now. Everyone goes, if this was Vince, he would have stopped it probably not, because he's Vince McMahon.
Do you know what? The thing is, though, if it was Vince, it wouldn't have even happened.
Well, that's the funny thing. Like, because WWE never do press conference until they did one at Clash. And the biggest thing was, Roman Reigns walks out after like one question, and then the next day you have this happen, and living between kayfabe, walking out of a press conference, and then
Eric Bischoff said it: controversy creates cash.
Yeah, look now how they're becoming WCW.
Right, you've said for ages you feel like they're a bit WCW. Is this very WCW for you?
Yes, only in not in the fact that WCW would have done the same thing. Maybe 2000 era WCW, the Vince Russo era, but how you always hear stories about how Bischoff was the main guy, but he was never running the company really. It was always like Hogan and like the higher paid wrestlers that were always controlling
that
him.
It was in their contracts to have that kind of control.
And if it's true about Punk having creative control and most people having creative control, it's never been a good idea.
One thing that stood out for me that felt really, and again, because we don't know the full situation, but you just got to look at what we do see, because that's the only way we can judge it.
Yeah.
Right. True. And if anybody turns around and goes, well, you can't say shit because you weren't there or whatever. Okay, no, we weren't. But they still chose to air that. It's still out there for people to watch. And if it's out there for people to watch and consume, you're going to form and base an opinion on it. That is how people work. That's not just in wrestling, that's just in general, right? And it's out there for people to form opinions. So people will take sides because wrestling is very tribal, right? There are going to be people in the Elite's corner, there's people in Punk's corner, there are people against Tony, there are people for Tony. And you ain't going to change that. That's just how it is. But I'm not saying that I'm against Punk on it. I think that it came across super petty, like I said, and I think it was really uncalled for the way he was treating some of the journalists. A lot of wrestling journalists really don't deserve the heat they get. I get some of them do get a lot of heat because they report some absolute crap.
True.
And some, you know, and it really is awful stuff sometimes. So I completely understand.
But also, does the being injured also not help?
Or not? Exactly. So you've got to take that into account. You know, if he's really injured and he's sat there in pain, if I'm sat there in pain, I'm being forced to go in front of loads of people and I'm looking around the room going, all of these people have been reporting how much of a dick I am and I don't want Colt Cabana here and whatever. I'm probably going to be a bit, as he put it, snippy too. Mm. Right? But I'm also not going to go off on a massive tirade about my co-workers in front of my boss and make everybody look stupid. And what stuck out for me that made me go, do you know what, Punk? That was shitty. And it was subtle. But Tony goes to jump in at one point and he does go to try and take some sort of control. And he says, you know, like, I should have answered the question at the time. Because it was when he was asked on the situation, he sort of gave like a no comment response, right? I think this was to do with the Cabana stuff. And Tony tries to interject here and he's like, no, look, I am sorry. I should have done this. And then Punk cuts him off and he's like, no, it's not up to you to do it. It's not up to you to do it. It's blah, blah, blah. A couple of things come out because then Punk says something like, you know, Tony says he's sorry, and then Punk says, well, we're learning as we go. It's all right. Two things stood out to me for that, and they're subtle. One is that even though Tony cut Punk off to interject himself as his boss, Punk took it right back off him, mm-hmm. and Tony let him. And two, it was Punk saying to him, we're all learning as we go. And that felt very much to me like that is like basically saying, look, Tony is in the palm of my hand. That whole thing, because he was. And that's how that come across. So that, for me, I feel was really shitty because it seemed super manipulative to me. And look, the other thing you have to look at, when I'm saying that the content's all out there for you to see and the interviews and both on the product, off the product, whatever, Cody. I've moaned about Cody for all my life, it seems. Right, how annoying he was in AEW, and he was. He bloody annoyed me. Always right. Said great talent in the ring.
True.
But very annoying in AEW, right? In terms of his creative direction and just the way you come across. But the other thing you have to look at is Cody has a falling out with the Elite. We still don't really know what all that was about.
Nah.
But Cody's not in AEW anymore.
Is he?
No. He's got his own pectoral tear. So he leaves. But he's had a falling out with the Elite. Punk's having a fallout with the Elite. Is the problem sometimes to do with the fact that, again, you've got good talent, great talent there in the Elite, but they're in position, the positions that they're in. And that's what's very WCW. So that WCW dynamic is where I think Tony just needs to step up, grow a pair of balls, and learn from WCW's mistakes. It's not too late for AEW. Like, people that jumped on it and was like, oh, AEW's dead. That's it. Dead in the water now. It's not. It's the first biggest fuck-up that they've ever had. Biggest.
One of the first.
The first biggest fuck-up. Losing Cody was a huge blow to them. That looked embarrassing. You know, to lose an EVP and one of the founding fathers of your company, pretty embarrassing. Right? But this was huge because this just made them look like a joke. But it's not the end of AEW, as the last 2 weeks of TV have proven, because they've done good ratings. They've been excellent shows. Last night's Dynamite was great. Really, really good show. And it's building up some good angles now. I want to see Bryan Danielson take on Moxie for the title. Hell yeah, I do.
I don't mind it, but there was a chance of making Sammy Guevara at least challenge. He wouldn't have won.
They could do without the heat right now. They don't need any more heat.
But I mean, you have the chance of making a potential star.
After all of these suspensions, and we've just had the incident with Kingston and Sammy as well. Can you really put Sammy?
It's not that. It's just, was Guevara the right choice to be in that I know they probably... Why couldn't it have been Hangman? Why couldn't it have been anyone else that you got even could see potential for?
I don't know.
It can't be MVF. It can't be like a Wardlow. Yeah, it can't be...
Well, look, the Blackpool Combat Club is a really good angle. It's got a lot going for it at the minute, a lot of different threads. And actually, you know, it all started with the match between Moxley and Danielson. So this is quite a nice sort of full circle moment to it. And then we'll see what happens from there.
I got a feeling I know what's going to happen, but... Because apparently Moxley was meant to have time off, but because of the incident, he had to cancel his plans. So, plus, do we need Moxley in another title match already? If it was win, loss, and he's going to lose
Moxley
again.
Moxley is probably the heart and soul of AEW at this point. I know what you think about it. I know you don't think he's like, you know, the best in the ring and stuff like that. I don't think he's the best in the ring. I think he has very enjoyable matches. I really enjoy his promos. But I like Moxley's presence on AEW. And for all of the wrongs and stuff, I say wrongs, and that comes across wrong in itself. But, you know, like he's overcome his alcohol addiction. He's fought that off. He's come back and he's, you know, the guy doesn't shy away from his own problems. And he's such a stark contrast to Punk, where Punk's never in the wrong for anything, in whatever he says. Like, I don't care what has happened between him and the Elite. It's not one-sided. It's not like it was all started on one side. Like, it just doesn't work like that. But you see what Moxie's like. He's held his hands up to all of his own wrongdoings and he goes and owns them.
Oh, he didn't.
Nobody seems to have any issue with him backstage. You never hear about Moxie causing any issues backstage.
Well, but
this is AEW, though. This is AEW. We've got to judge the now, you know? You've got to judge the present. And right now, Mox doesn't have any issues with anybody backstage that we know of, or at least it's been documented. He shows up. He's been called upon to, you know, yeah, he won his title and then he lost to Punk and now he's there. He's doing his job. And he really is the heart and soul of AEW, I think. And he's earned that. Like, he's a guy that's fought his own demons, but he takes responsibility and accountability for himself.
He didn't take responsibility for the deathmatch finish.
Well, yeah, but Moxie's been in plenty of death matches where they've been very good. So I don't think...
Well, he's done enough of them, so they should...
Exactly, so I don't think you should take responsibility for that. But, you know, my point is, I think Moxie deserves the opportunity at this point. And again, like you just said, he's had to cancel plans for stuff for this.
What do you think would have been the option if... If he just said no, I just want my time off. Which I don't know how long it would have been. It'd probably been a month or so.
Then they may have maybe gone for Bryan Danielson.
But who would have been in that spot against him?
I don't know.
Because that's enough. All good having Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, but they probably weren't going to win it.
No, I know. Maybe you just build it up for the finale between Bryan Danielson and Jericho again, then. That's probably the way to do it, isn't it? But obviously we've had that, and that was a great match, by the way.
Do you think it will be Bryan, or do you think it'll be Mox?
I think it should be Bryan at this point.
But they seem to be building more for Mox and...
And if it's Mox, it's Mox, and I'm happy with that. Like, I'm long past now the point where I'm going to sit here and go, I want this person and it's got to be this person. I'm going to be upset if it's not. Like, I'm way past it. Like, I just want to sit there and enjoy what I'm watching.
But this is another accidental hot potato change of the title.
It is a hot potato, Punk's forced the hand there. Like, what can you do?
Like the TNT title. Was it only this year when it changed hands, like, every week?
Oh, it was a lot, yeah. Like, between Sammy and Scorpio and...
Cody.
But, you know, TNT title was in its own... little dilemma at the minute, isn't it? Because it's kind of a cursed title.
Yeah, like, it feels like Wardlow hasn't defended it, but he has.
He's defended it, but like Wardlow's not got anything to do now. And, you know, he's come off hot off the heels of beating MJF and stuff, and it's like...
But this is
again, it's another one of those classic AEW booking scenarios where they get the title and then that's it. Like, the chase was good, and now, okay, Dog's got his bone. Ace Steel's got his bone, I guess. Like, it's one of those classic AEW scenarios. And they've got a lot of work they need to do in that area, obviously. But you know, it, this whole thing limits now in terms of what you can do in the future. Kenny Omega versus CM Punk, dream match. We going to get it now? No. No. We're probably not going to get Punk and Hangman again. We're not going to get anything between Punk and the Young Bucks. The one of the biggest things.
Well, that's another thing. Why would there be a match with Punk and the Young Bucks? They rarely do single matches. And
well, yeah, but now the option's not there, is it?
No.
It takes the option away. Ultimately, now, right, Punk, if Punk's the golden goose, let's say Punk is the one responsible for bringing all these ratings in, which the last 2 weeks have proven that he's not, right? That. If Punk's the one bringing these ratings in, should he still be treated differently to everybody else? This particular scenario.
It just feels like they have to think that Punk, is this the same Punk from 2011, when it clearly isn't.
I gotta be honest, and this is the saddest part of the whole thing. If Punk didn't come back now, I wouldn't be mad.
That's the thing. I got so used to not seeing him.
But we wanted Punk to come back for such a long time. The way he exited WWE felt heroic. Maybe it wasn't, right? But it did. It felt heroic because it was like, do you know what? No, I'm doing this for me. This isn't for me anymore. I'm sick of it. And I'm done. Cool, man. Awesome. But now you spend 7 years charting CM Punk everywhere you go, right? Then he comes back on Rampage and people go nuts. And it really was an amazing moment. Super, like, it was great. It was done so well and come across so well. But now fast forward a year and it's like, and again, like, it's that transition between, you know, he has his first match in 7 years at All Out last year. In what I still think is AEW's best pay-per-view they've ever had. And at the end of that show, it felt so promising for the future. Adam Cole comes in, Bryan Danielson comes in, Punk's just had his first match, that amazing steel cage match between the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks. All these matches. Paul White, QT Marshall. But no, like it was an amazing show. And then you fast forward a year and this happens and it's like, what went wrong? There is one thing at the centre of it, and it is CM Punk. And whether that is the truth or not, whether that's a reality or not, it's hard to escape that fact.
But you do need a bad year.
At least does a bad year have to be caused by one person?
But I would have thought it's not only... I don't think it's just because of Punk. I think it's the way that certain things have happened.
I think Vince McMahon is in on the whole thing.
You're probably not the only one that thinks.
Here's why, right? So, all the talent gets released from WWE. Tony can't help himself. Kid in a candy shop. Buys them all. Brilliant. Now you've got nowhere to put it. Doesn't matter, though, because he wants it. Punk comes along. Well, I've got to have CM Punk, and I'll pay him $3 million a year to get him. But Vince sent him there because he wanted to inject AEW. With a lethal dose of poison.
Right.
I tried it. That was, you know, you should have done that, really, but...
Nah, I haven't got the voice for it today.
But in that, no, mine's literally on the way out. But it does kind of, like, joking aside, though, that it does kind of feel a bit like he's just been a bit of a poison. Like, he's just a bit of a virus since he's got there.
You have heard stories about how he's been like that everywhere he's gone, so don't expect it.
I know, but I really just hope it's not the case. Like, regardless, look, AEW is going to be just fine, okay? As long as Tony keeps doing what he's doing now, but he's got to grow some balls. Got to grow balls. I don't care. I obviously, I don't know the guy, but we all saw the scrum. That wasn't a CEO.
It looked like a fan that's just got lucky.
It looked like a fan who stumbled into the, like, a bit of the backstage area that he wasn't meant to go in. You remember that photo that kid takes of Randy Orton in the toilets?
Yes.
And Randy's looking at him like, the fuck are you doing? Like, that kid is Tony Khan. Like, he was all happy to be there, and then he realises, like, yeah, I'm in shit. Like,
well, you would be if you're in the toilet.
Well, gave him a swirly. It's just, it's strange. It's a very weird situation. It's even weirder that AEW's last two Dynamites have been so good. So he is handling the controversy very, very well. But what's the future for Punk?
What? I don't know.
What's the future for the Elite?
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, there's been the rumours that Young Bucks have been sending feelers to WWE, but I don't know how, when their contract rolls out, if they... I don't think they would suit WWE. Because where else can they go? Because pretty much every wrestling company is aligned with AEW, it feels like, apart from WWE.
What?
Because they, could they do New Japan and not have anything to do with any AEW people? I don't think so. Plus, with Ibushi were tagging with Kenny Omega years ago. We don't know what that situation is. So if they put in what their relationship with Omega is, because they went out Forbidden Door together.
Well, Ibushi and Omega are currently together in Japan because, like, that's what's weird. So although Omega's suspended, he's currently over in Japan and they're promoting the AEW Fight Forever game. So he's suspended, but he's still working. So I don't know how that works out. Because he posted his pictures of him at Sega headquarters and him and Kota having food together.
Is this...
So again, like, I don't understand how the suspensions work.
Is it a bit... It's not the same thing, but is it like the Naomi Sasha Banks thing where they walked out, but they're still technically with the company and they...
Like, we're actually going to see the Young Bucks on a catwalk in a few weeks' time.
Well, if they look anything like they did like Naomi and Sasha Banks did, that gets some likes.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's a very weird thing. And this is why I don't want that sort of stuff thrown in my face anymore on TV. Like, I just want to enjoy the product. Because then you have to start thinking. It forces you to start thinking about it. And I don't want to think about it. I don't care, man. There's a lot going on in life. I don't care about some little pissy squabble that a bunch of grown men have had that throw each other around in pants. For fuck's sake, man. We just want to watch the wrestling and enjoy it. That's all we want to do. The rest of it, I'm just not interested anymore. I'm just not interested. And if it means not seeing Punk or the Elite on the TV anymore, so be it. AEW's got so much talent on that roster.
Well,
they'll be fine.
Yeah, but there's so many people that apparently are not wanting to leave, but you always hear the story about how they are upset with creative.
Well, actually, that does bring us into Malakai Black.
Well, has he gone? Because apparently there's rumours that he has, some rumours that he hasn't.
Well, I mean, a week ago it was all Malakai Black has been released, but the terms of it were super strict, so he's not allowed to have any contact with WWE or anything like that for like X amount of time. That's what I was reading.
I know there was a story, Luger said that when he left WCW, he couldn't join WWE for like a year. But he technically could do WWE because he did the bodybuilding stuff.
It's loophole, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess like this Kenny Omega thing is.
What's he going to do, bodybuilding?
Well, he could. He's a big boy at the minute, isn't he?
Well, it should be. Times have recovered from surgery.
The whole situation is very, very strange, but... You guys listening, I mean, let us know what you think of it. I mean, have you picked a side? Do you not care? Are you like me and you don't really care, but you've got to, you know, you're still going to have an opinion, aren't you?
Yeah, true.
Well, it's kind of hard not to have an opinion.
Because honestly, I don't care, but only because it's just wrestling. You take yourself too seriously, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, another thing, like I talk about creative control, if they are unscripted promos for the most part, that also won't help. Because if you don't give, because I feel like you should give the person you're talking to permission about things you can or can't say. I mean, yeah, we had that with Kingston and Guevara. That sorted itself out quickly.
Yeah, I know. But then that was just over, that seemed pretty clear cut in terms of like, here was the incident. This is how it was handled. And then it's just, I guess they've both sort of been like, that's the end of it. Whereas this is something that's obviously been brewing for some time. I don't think, well, I mean, obviously it stems way before the actual promo where Hangman blindsides Punk. You know, I'm going to protect AEW from you.
Yeah, which apparently...
And all that sort of stuff. But again, like, Kingston did a very similar promo.
Yeah.
And they're both baby faces in these angles, Kingston and Page. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it stacks up a bit against Punk. And what we were saying before, like, maybe it was all just this work that, like, Punk is going to turn heel and that's the angle. Like, that's cool if that's the angle. What but, if, like, at this point now, it just, like, that's what I mean. Like, I would rather it be a work. Like, I see people online, like, oh, idiots always think, like, everything in wrestling is a work. Like, look, you're not an idiot for thinking everything in wrestling is a work. That's the point of pro wrestling. Like, you're supposed to buy into what they're doing. There's supposed to be that ambiguous kind of line of, like, is it, isn't it? Right? That's the whole point. It's the only thing in the world where we want to be conned.
Tony conned.
We want to be Tony conned. Like, it's the only thing you can watch in the world where you actually want to be conned. Right? You want that because that's how it becomes immersive. So I get it. I get why people would be like, oh, is it, isn't it a work? But at this point now, like, I mean, if this is a work, I still, why? This is a lot of effort to go to. It's a lot of effort to go to. And that is why I initially thought it was a work, because how do you take a question from an interviewer? Like, oh, Punk, you know, you had a banged up leg and how was that tonight for you? Obviously coming back from that. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Hangman Page is a little bitch. What?
Like, well, let me tell you something, brother.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm tired of wrestling these pricks.
The people you said you wanted to help out when you signed.
Yeah, total 180. It's like a real life heel turn.
I mean, if this is to build up for the heel turn, then fine. Because I know there was a story that came out in the last few days about how Punk planned what he wanted to say. I don't know if that means he had on his mind what he wanted to say.
You've got to think he did.
Or if that means that this is a work.
No, I think he went in there knowing exactly. He must have done. Like I said, he knew from the moment that interviewer was opening his mouth that he was going to be the one to take control there and then. And he turned the entire scrum on its head.
Also, do you think he was controlling his narrative?
I feel like he may have been controlling his narrative. But I don't think I want to see this narrative. Because I ain't interested. Just go out and wrestle. It's all we need to see. Put on a good show each week like everybody's doing now on Dynamite. No dramas. Just keep the drama in the ring. That's the drama we want to see. I don't want to see the supposed top talent in the company who's meant to be a mega babyface blow up at some innocent reporters. And not all of them are going to be innocent, I know.
Yeah, and also,
but that first guy, man, I do feel for him because it was bang out of order.
And now that being the Elite is on hiatus,
which is understandable, and I think.
But also, if they filmed what happened backstage, do you think that would have come out as like, oh, this is a work? Because I can't imagine being the Elite actually doing a real thing for real.
I don't know. Again, the fallout of all of this. Tony, like we said, on the Wednesday Dynamite after this all happened, he did his announcement. And it was kind of like an apology, but it wasn't an apology.
Why can't wrestling just be wrestling?
let everyone know, yeah. Let us know, let everyone know what you think about the situation. Let us know what you thought about AEW Dynamite last night as well. Like I said, I think it was a really good show. But
it was only a good show because the pizza guy was on.
The pizza guy was on. Alex Marvez, what are you doing? When Ethan Page comes in with a boot. Brilliant. Alex Marvez has just got like zero charisma, but to the point where he's really funny. That sounds horrible, but like, it's just the way he comes across, isn't he? Sometimes he just makes me chuckle. I don't know if he's meant to. But
I'm not sure if I like the fact that MGF's got a person to talk for him.
We'll just see how it all goes.
I know they went together when they cut the promo about what the name is. And
MGF cut a killer promo last night. That was a great promo on Mox. Brilliant, brilliant promo.
Which makes me think Mox is going to beat Brian, but I'd rather have Brian win.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
My idea is Brian wins and then MGF cashes in his chip. But I don't know if it's like Money in the Bank, if it's just a where you can do it anytime? Because usually when people win, it's like, oh, the match is going to happen at this certain day. You got.
I know. We'll see. I'm going along for the ride. But on a positive note, AEW killed it the last 2 weeks. Very good wrestling on television. That's what I want to see. WWE killing it at the moment on television. Good wrestling. It's what I want to see. There's positives. And again, guys, it's not the end of AEW. If anything, history is on Tony Khan's side if he wants it to be. Okay? Yes, he didn't handle that situation very well. And I think he knows he didn't handle it very well. Okay? That's why he put himself front and center on that episode of Dynamite. He took the boos as well. The people were booing him.
Yeah.
And they kept those boos in. Fair play. Okay? He's owned up to it. He's going to put his hands up. He knows he was in the wrong. But history is on his side if he chooses it to be that way. WCW, which is the company that people keep liking in AEW to, and for good reason a lot of the time, WCW went out of business for a lot of reasons, a lot of well-documented reasons. Because they're so well-documented, it's all the more reason Tony can avoid doing them. But the biggest question really is going to remain is if Tony Khan can see that he's made them. He's making mistakes, if he is, in those same areas that WCW did. And that goes to like giving your talent too much power. That goes to spending money where you shouldn't be spending money. There's a lot of different factors at play. Factors that I can't talk about because A, I'm not a billionaire, or my dad isn't, and I'm not. B, I don't own my own wrestling company.
No.
And C,
because GM mode doesn't count.
GM mode, yeah, and if it did, I really would be top dog. When was the last time you beat me?
Well, I ain't played in a while, so I don't know.
When was the last time you beat me? Do you know how far back you got to think?
No.
Do you know why?
No.
Because it's never happened.
It has happened.
It's never happened.
It fucking has happened.
It has never, ever happened. Because we've gone on a tangent now. Look, see, this is what's going to happen. Now I'm going to have a punk moment. Right?
Well, you're going to walk out.
Be fucking... Listen, don't make me bring my mate in and start fucking biting you, because it'll happen. I've got Ace Steel locked in that kitchen, and he's ready to chomp down on you. You scrawny little shit.
Looks like Daryl.
Yeah, anyway, history's on his side, but he's got to be able to look himself in the mirror if he's making his mistakes and go, I know I'm making those mistakes, and not be like, no, I don't think I am. And that's why I think that first Dynamite was a good sign that he's in the right direction, because it was almost, like I said, putting himself front and center and being like, look, I'll own up to it. I didn't handle it very well. But he's got to make sure that things change from there. He's just got to put his foot down. He's the owner. And he needs to be commanding respect. Whether people respect him or not, he's their boss. He's their boss and people need to respect him. But the way he handled himself with that scrum, I wouldn't respect him if he was my boss.
Yeah.
And to the Elite's credit, I wouldn't respect him, like you said. I wouldn't respect a man whether he was laughing at me or he was just laughing because he was uncomfortable. Regardless, he was laughing. And I wouldn't respect a man that was doing that for me when someone's running their mouth about me like Punk was doing there. Whether Punk was absolutely valid in what he was saying or not, and I'm sure he probably was in a lot of it. I don't think, like I said, I don't think the Elite are innocent in all of this. I don't think they are the... and that goes, you know, put Hangman in there as well. I don't think they are.
No.
But again, like it was still just handled so, so poorly. So poorly. Punk had his moment back. He got Hangman back on Dynamite. That night he wasn't there and he called him out and then fans booed him because he didn't show up because he just wasn't there. He got him back.
Yeah.
There was no need. It was just overkill.
Funny how he didn't mention Kingston again.
No.
Funny how he didn't mention Moxley again. Really.
Very strange. Very strange. But AEW's in it. I think, you know, this could be a really good learning experience for him. And this really could be a turning point for him now. So we just got to see what happens. Just got to see what happens and just enjoy the ride, man. Just enjoy the wrestling. That's about all I even want to talk about on that matter, because I'm done with it now. Looking forward to AEW next week. Looking forward to WWE. Got progress coming up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that too. I'm looking forward to the wrestling.
All good stuff coming soon.
Until next time, everybody. I think that's pretty much us for today. Thank you very, very much for all the new subscribers upon YouTube. And we've had a lot of new follows this month through the podcast platforms as well. So really, really happy. And we're genuinely very happy to be reaching out to new people. We're obviously still, we've just passed the 2-year mark.
I know, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is mental. I completely forgot as well that it was 2 years. But yeah, a lot's been going on. And it's kind of like in a blur, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, because you think about all the pandemic stuff and then personal stuff that both of us had. I know we don't want to talk about that much, but...
The weirdest thing as well is because, like, this all started during pandemic as well, you know? This was like our pandemic baby.
Best timing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fine in a few months' time if everything will be back to normal.
But yeah, we were born out of the pandemic. And
well, I was born in the 90s.
This... Until next time, everybody, we hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you are having a great day. Look after yourselves.
And no media scrums.
Don't do any media scrums. Moral of the story. Don't bring your dog into a fight, for goodness sake. Grump.
Unless it's a big bulldog.
No, don't bring any animals. Look after animals. Everybody, see you later.
Boy.
Bye.
Boy.
Do you share a bad family or not?
Bye.